Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a two-bit party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid, right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You, yes, you are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't afford to fall for anything. We have to continue to walk upright, stand upright, and make sure that we put God in front of everything that we do. Thank you, and good morning. Good morning, son. What's up, Lloyd Smith? Good morning. Good morning. How are you out there in Florida? Where the storm was, where the hurricane hit, people are living. Now, Walmart has a policy. If you have an RV or you want to spend a night in a Walmart parking lot, you're welcome to do that. Everything is good. Praise God. That's what I want to see. What's up, Rod Jones? What's up, cousin? What's up, family? How are you? Good to see you, man. It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words. Okay, here's the deal. At any Walmart, in anywhere, hey, good morning, baby, good morning. I want to say good morning to my wife, Wanda. Good morning, honey. How are you? Listen, anybody who goes to Walmart, if you want to stay in the parking lot overnight, you're welcome to. You can sleep in the parking lot overnight. Matter of fact, you can stay there for days. It's their policy to allow people, if you have an RV or a car or a tent or whatever, but not to the magnitude that it is in Florida right now with the hurricane. But there's a lot of tents and RVs and trucks. They have a portable laundromat there. They have portable toilets there and sinks and everything there. And Walmart is doing that. So what I'm saying is Walmart is getting ready to move into the evolution of robots. Pretty soon they will not have any employees in Walmart. Good morning, good morning. They will not, good morning, baby, how are you? They will not have any employees in the store eventually. Not right away. Not right away, but real soon. They're gonna be doing some changing of the guard. And you know, you go to Walmart now, you see all this ghettoified stuff happening, people fighting and all that's gonna be over with. Because all you're gonna have in there is robots. And they'll even have a security robot that'll be able to handle every situation. Ready? What's up? Good morning, Gloria Majors. Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm just saying, if you're not ready, you better get ready, because most of these stores like Target and Walmart, they're going completely autonomous, which means that they will be unmanned individuals. You might see one human being or two human beings in the store, and that'll probably be the person that's doing everything. You already go in the store already. They already have it automated where you could just go over there and go check out already. So imagine what it's going to. And this is just the beginning of a whole lot of changes that are going to be made. But my whole point right here is, in the parking lot at Walmart, anywhere in the United States of America, if you're in your RV and you're traveling and you don't have a place to stay, or you can't get to a hotel, or you can't get to an RV hookup, you can go to Walmart and hook it up. And you can just stay there overnight or 2 days or 3 days or whatever time you need, or even some people even get there right now, okay? But the Walmart company is evolving, and the Walmart company will evolve into robotics and autonomous unmanned stores will be available extremely real soon. And if sometimes you can go to places where they already have it. There's nobody in the store. There's gas stations like that right now. There's nobody at the gas station. You just go to the pump, set your card, do whatever you got to do, and get your gas, and you're out of there. There's nobody there. You can't buy anything out of there. Just gas. It's coming to that. Because look at the sign of the time. It'll tell you why it's evolving. It's ever evolving. It's not going to turn around and go backwards. The only thing that's going backwards in my eyesight right now is racism. Racism is going backwards because we are allowing it to go backwards. And let me just share with you why I say that. Black-on-black crime is up. Crips killing Bloods and Bloods killing Crips are up. But let me tell you something. The Aryan Nation, the Ku Klux Klan, they're not killing each other. They're strengthening their numbers, and we need to be strengthening our numbers as a people instead of shooting each other over some silly stuff on Facebook. Or somebody says something on social media to somebody, so they get mad and go shoot them while they on a live. Like you really did something, like because you go kill another black man, and let me tell you something, all you brothers out there, just put your hands on your lady or on a woman, you know you're wrong. No man should be putting his hands on a woman. And this is the reason why the black race is not as strong and as powerful as it can be. Yes, we have strength in numbers, but first of all, we got to galvanize together and stop. We have to respect our women. We got to respect each other, and we can't be so petty. The Willie Lynch Law has taught us light against the dark, house against the field, brown eyes against the green eyes, curly hair against the nappy hair, fat against the skinny, light against the dark. No, this is a premeditated conspiracy that's been going on for a very, very long time. But when are we going to wake up and smell the coffee? Because there's a new cup being brewed every minute, okay? We got to wake up and stop killing each other. We're killing off our own seeds. I'm so tired of looking at drive-by shootings and shootings in Chicago over stupidity, complete stupidity. And they don't care. They just shot a young lady with a baby. She's coming out the store. She didn't have nothing to do with the shooting. But they were shooting at somebody else, and they shot her and killed her and the baby. Did the baby deserve that? No. Did the mother deserve that? No. And then I'm looking at these other things where guys are out here hitting their ladies and all that and slapping them and talking crazy to them, and then you wonder why they don't want to be with you. Come on, brothers, let's step up our game. We don't have to come rowdy and ballistically crazy. And guess what? Another thing that's destroying us is this stuff I'll call K2. K2 is like a synthetic marijuana. They made it to put in our community. I'm not knocking anybody that smokes marijuana. That's your business. But don't smoke K2, okay? K2 is that cheap synthetic marijuana that you can find at 7-Eleven or any kind of Walmart or whatever you can find it. It makes people act psychotic. It makes them do crazy things. It makes them turn on their family. It makes them hit people with cars and keep on going. It just makes you do crazy things. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we as a people, and we are working, we're WIP, we're work in progress, but we got to get our stuff together. We don't even want to vote. We go, oh, I don't want to vote because if my vote don't count. Yes, your vote does count. People die for your vote to count. People lost for your vote to count. People were hung so you could have the right to vote, and you still don't want to vote? What is wrong with you? You need to wake up and get ready to vote, because if you don't and the Republicans get back in office, Aryan Nation, Ku Klux Klan, right-wing American flag stuff down our throat, you know, they're still, now remember, we're in 2022, and we've been finding people hung in the United States of America. This, one of our topics for today is going to touch you in a way that you're not going to believe. So I want you to get ready for that. Not our first topic, but our second topic. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. You know, it's just a lot going on right now. It's a lot going on. And we have to be vigilant. We have to be mindful, be mentally ready, psychologically ready, physically ready, and financially ready. Because while we're sitting around doing nothing, and I'm not saying all our people are doing that, I'm saying the ones who are doing that, I'm talking to you, and you know who you are. If you're not doing nothing, and nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So if you want to have something, you better put God first and then write your plan out. Write out your 2-year plan, your 5-year plan, and your 10-year plan. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. You should have a written plan, amen, that lets you know where you're going to be in the next 2 years, where you're going to be in the next 5 years, where you're going to be in the next 10 years. Where do you want to be? Because the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limit. Hallelujah. Yes, that's what I'm talking about, Lloyd. They're in Georgia, they're practicing keeping black folks from voting. They have all these new laws and stipulations. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But first of all, let's get some co-producers in the studio. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning to all our wonderful listeners throughout this state, this nation, and around the world. Good morning to the co-panelists, co-hosts, co-producers, giving all glory and honor to God who provided us with another beautiful day, Pastor Eddie. You know, you are so right. You're hitting all the bullet points right on the head, man, with these Crimson Bloods, and they're just being pawns to those other organizations that you mentioned, about those clans, those Aryan Brotherhood dudes, the Boogaloo Boys, all of them. They have equipped us, Pastor Eddie, provided us with the weapons to go out and do work for them. So if you are a Crip-Off Blood and you out there shooting at a Crip-Off Blood, you just eliminate yourself from being a Crip-Off Blood and becoming their pawn. You know, both of the acronyms for Crimson Bloods mean to change our community for better, rising over the oppression and discrimination that we have to face each and every day. So, Pastor Eddie, thank you for having me once again. This is America.
Amen, amen, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. And today you will be stepping in the shoes of Professor Reams at the end of the show doing our commentary, Brother Clarence, because Professor Reams had to, was called over to the university, and we got to get ready. And Brother James Hutchin, my brother, what's happening, man? Brother James Hutchin is watching us right now on Facebook Live. He says, these racist Republicans are not playing. They smell blood in the water. We better wake up. They say, and it also goes on to say, we better wake up. They mean what they say. Okay. And then regarding their efforts to making America white again, and they do mean that. And they do mean that. They want to make America white again. Apostle Kenneth Curry, you're in the queue. All right. Well hold on. We're going to get one of our great guests on the show. Cynthia Hunt, how are you? God bless you, Cynthia K. Hunt. What's up? How have you been? God bless you and welcome to the show. Let's get, first of all, let's get my daughter, Talana Jones. We're going to, Apostle Curry, don't go anywhere. We're going to get you right on, right where you are. Brother Hutchin, call in to the show, Brother Hutchin. Call in from Texas. We want to talk to you really quick. Let's get you on the show. Without further ado, Talana Jones, welcome to the show. Good morning, Talana. How are you this morning?
I am blessed and highly favored. Good morning, Daddy. And good morning to Clarence and Allen. And shout out to Professor Reams and to Cousin V and to Dr. Granny V Butterfly, a.k.a. I love you guys. To everyone on Facebook, good morning to you all. And to everyone listening from abroad, thank you for being here with us. God bless you all and happy Monday, everybody.
Good morning, Talana.
All right, all right. Good morning. Now, without further ado, let's get in our co-host, co-producer, Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Eddie. Right. Good morning, Clarence and Ellen. Good morning, Talana, the other co-host, and all the listeners. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Happy
Good
Monday.
Good morning, Granny B.
Good morning.
Now, Brother Clarence, we can't hardly hear you, man. We can't really hear you that well. Okay, now, wait. Let's get Apostle Kenneth Curry in. Good morning, Apostle Kenneth Curry. How are you this morning, sir?
Well, good morning to everybody. It's good to be able to get back on. My schedule got a little bit busy, but I'm just glad to be back here with everybody. I've been listening to the discussion that you've been having, and clearly we are dealing with some very difficult times. But you know what? To be honest, we have not been left unaware of what was going to take place in our society because we didn't want to protect. That all these things are the beginnings of sorrow. That's Matthew 24. These are the things that were talked about that were going to come, where there was a time that good will be called bad and bad will be called good, and we're living in that systematic situation. It seems almost to me, Pastor Eddie, that, you know, it's almost like you see the demons speaking more than the people are, and people
Come on
are
now.
being ruled because, remember, the Bible taught us that, you know, you wrestle not against what flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what the darkness of this world. And that's what we're up against. And so that's why we as a people of God, we have to come together. Because if we try to face this thing separated, you've got so many people trying to separate themselves spiritually from other people. When evil, watch this, is united. They know they're going to do wickedness. They know they're going to do deception. They know they're going to discriminate. They know they're going to do racism. And so you see what happened on January 6th was the element of all that wickedness coming into one place. And they showed you what they can do when they come into one place. So we have a lot of stuff. And we got to come united. I just look back at what it took during the civil rights movement with Dr. King and others. They had to unite the people of God, the spiritual and religious community had to come together. I mean, we can agree to disagree, but what we cannot disagree on is the goodness and righteousness, what is in the Word of God. You know, I might not agree with everything that you said, but one thing I agree with, what is good. He said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, you dwell on those things. And that's where we keep getting off track. We keep allowing our communities to
Hey, Chief Apostle, hold that thought for one minute, because you are on fire. You're on fire right now, and you are saying some fantastic, powerful words that need to be heard. Thank you for coming on this morning. I want to go to Texas right now to Mr. James Hutchins, all the way in Texas. Welcome to the show, Brother James. How are you this morning down there in Texas?
Bless you, man. How are we doing this morning?
Man, we're fantastic, man. We're moving right along, brother. But we got some stuff going on. People don't understand that black-on-black crime is terrible. Crip shooting blood and black people arguing over a piece of bread or $5 or a piece of dough or whatever and shooting people down because they don't like them because of the color of their skin, and it's black-on-black crime. And while we're doing this to each other, the Klans and the Indian Nation and the other groups just sitting back saying we don't have to do a thing because these ninjas are doing it to each other. What do you say about that, James?
Well, I say that you are 100% correct, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're just sitting back saying, let them destroy themselves. And you know I live here in Texas where they passed a gun laws where anybody can go out and purchase a gun. They don't care if you're a felon. They don't care who you are. You can go out and purchase a gun without showing your license, without showing anything. I'm a fisherman. I have to show my license just to buy a fishing license. But I don't have to do that to purchase a gun. And so people have to realize, why did they do that? Well, because they knew that you're going to have this black-on-black crime. You don't see that happening out in the suburbs as nearly as much as you see it as happening in the inner city. So they're just saying, just let them people kill each other. Let them kill each other, and that kills the police. It gives the police an excuse that every time I pull over somebody, I'm fearing for my life. And that's how come you see all these police shootings. And so we had better wake up. When Donald Trump made that statement where he said he could go out on Fifth Avenue and kill somebody and he still would not lose any of his supporters, he knew exactly what he was saying. If you just think about that, I can go out and kill somebody and all these white people are going to still follow me because they know those dog whistles making America white again. That's what this is all about, Custer's last stand, and what he's telling all these white people. Jews would not replace us. Black people would not replace us. Hispanic people would not replace us. Even though that America is a nation of immigrants, America belongs to white people. That's what he's telling them. That's why they can do that insurrection and still support what this man is doing. To be the president of the United States and lead an insurrection is ridiculous.
That's deep.
Yeah. Brother James, let me jump in for a minute. Okay, I want to teach you guys something out there that's listening to the show. A lot of this poor white trash, these trailer park people, they hate more than anybody. They ain't got a pot to wet in and a window to throw it out of, but they hate you because of the color of your skin, and they think that they are privileged, okay? And they're not, okay? Let me tell you who built America. Let's get it right. Who built America? African-American black people built the White House. They built the streetlight. They made the gas mask. They invented the iron and the iron board. The engine that goes in the car was developed by a black man. A black man, George Washington Carver, took a peanut and made 1,000 things. But if you listen to the history, they're going to lie to you about the real history of black America because they don't want you to know the truth, the whole truth. Columbus did not even discover America. Okay, so we better get it right. If you don't know your homework and you don't know your education and your knowledge and your power about your black history, then you need to read, read, read. They even took the Black Panther Party, who was giving breakfast and lunch to the kids before school, before the government was giving out blocks of cheese. So, but they wanted you to think that the Black Panther Party was a organization that was a gang, and they were not a gang. The Black Panther Party was feeding their community and protecting their community against white people coming over there hitting kids with cars and killing black people. The FBI and the CIA infiltrated the Black Party, made them sound like they were a gang. They were public enemy number one. Dr. Martin Luther King was public enemy number one. Malcolm X was public enemy number one. Medgar Evers was public enemy number one by the FBI. The FBI do not want to see black leaders thrive. And all I'm talking to all my brothers out there, you are leaders. You are not followers. Okay? So everything, why is it that everything African-American and black people do, they just take off like a rocket in it? I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm not just talking about football. I'm talking about black scientists, black brain surgeons, black astronauts, cosmonauts, black historians, black engineers. Why do we excel? Do you know who built the Chrysler 300 car? A black man did that for Chrysler and made them billions of dollars. So we have to know our position, know our worth. We have to know our worth, which brings me to our first topic. Our first topic was going to be about diabetes and black, because this is a civil rights issue too. Because as long as they can give you these pills and those shots if you're diabetic, then they're making money off of you. The pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars and trillions of dollars off of diabetes. And why does it only affect mostly black African Americans? That is heart disease on black Americans. High blood pressure. Why is that? So we need to get ready for that. That's going to be our second topic, which should have been our first topic. But let me tell you about our first topic. Our second topic is a teacher throws a book at a black student at a high school, calls him a nigger, and gets on paid administrative leave at a high school. The high school is called Kankakee High School in Chicago. Kankakee High School in Chicago. Look it up. I wanted to play the video for you. Maybe Brother Clarence can pull it up. This is unbelievable. The white teacher gets mad at the black student. So the black student goes up and says, hey, you need to apologize to me for throwing a book to another student. Instead of throwing it at me, he threw the book at the student. Okay, that's assault with the intent to harm. If you throw a book at somebody, you can hurt them. You can put their eye out. You can break their nose. You can even knock out a tooth. It depends on how big the book is. But no teacher, white, black, green, or yellow, should be throwing a book at a student, period. A high school student at that. First of all,
but you know what,
speaking in
intelligence.
Yes, sir.
What we're looking at is this is their avenue to protect the white privilege. You know, if someone a person of color had done something like that, they would have been the first ones on the chopping block. I mean,
now you know that.
But because they know that they have certain privileges, they feel that they can go ahead and execute those things and nothing happened to them. You know, I look at what happened out there at the school where they took the lady that was involved in the shooting that happened to all those people out there in Texas, and then they allowed her to come right back into the school and begin to work in that school until someone said something, and then they finally fired her. But, you know, they can move people around. They'll have person that commit a despicable act of racism, but they'll cover them and send them somewhere else and let them start up the same thing over and over again because it's part of the privilege. And so that's what we're facing. They don't care how bad Donald Trump does or any of these other people that are doing despicable things, and it has been proven with everything that we see through the January 6th committee what has been done. But you're like, okay, if that had been a person of color, my goodness, that's overwhelming. It wouldn't even took that much, but they're still saying that's not even enough to convict the people that need to be put in jail. So therein is the mountain that we're facing as far as trying to deal with the privilege. And that's what these people are trying to protect. It's not about the party as much as it is about the privilege that they want to keep in place. They want to keep that privilege. And when you got an advocate that is standing up there to a spokesman for all of that, they jump right on
right.
So this Donald Trump came in, everybody jumped right on board, and he was advocating what they wanted to say as a people of Caucasian descent.
Now, Chief Apostle, you made a great point right there, and I just want to piggyback on something that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
This white privilege problem is a problem in America. And hold on, I'm just going to put this on hold for a second. Okay. This white privilege problem is a problem in America right now, and it's being practiced by the ones who allow it to be practiced. Now, you're not going to see this happening on Crenshaw. You're not going to see it happening in Compton. You're not going to see it happening in South Central Los Angeles. But I'm going to tell you where you will see it. You'll see it in the backwoods of Georgia. You'll see it in the backwoods of Texas. You'll see it in the backwoods of Louisiana, or New Orleans, somewhere like that. But that's not going to happen on Crenshaw Boulevard, and it's not going to happen in Northern California. And it sure ain't going to happen in South Central because they will respond immediately. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you get a bunch of them Yahoo out there in the country somewhere where a black family moves, and then they start threatening them out of their community, which they call it their community. But this is America, and the free. No one has the authority to tell you where you can or cannot live. You have the right to live wherever you want to. Do you have the right to bear arms? It is your right to bear arms. And we need to stock up on our weapons, not to shoot and kill each other, but to protect ourselves from the future of what's going to happen when it comes down. And it is going to come down, and it's not going to get better until it gets worse. And I'm going to go to Brother James right now. Brother James, out there in Texas, I want to ask you, here's a young man in the classroom. The teacher's name is Mr. Donovan. Mr. Donovan takes it under his own to get into an argument with a high school African-American student. He throws a book at the student. Not only does that, the student gets up and he's not taking it, so he asks for an apology. He wouldn't apologize, so he calls the student. He says, "You effing N-word." And after he says, "I'm going to get fired anyway." White and he's not fired is because he can be sued, the school can be sued by the union to protect his job. Yeah. I want to hear how you feel about that, Brother James. Please take this one right here. Then we'll go to Clarence ML. Oh, wait. Brother James, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead, Brother James.
Yeah, like you said, and we always look at this thing from the same standpoint. What if this is a black teacher tossing a book at a white child? You know, that's all you have to look at. You know, that's all you have to do, just flip the script and then say what would have happened. See, and whatever they would have done if that had been a black teacher tossing a book at a white child, that's the way it should be all the way across the board. But we know that that's not it. Just like the black people just saying about the insurrection, if there had been a bunch of black people out there climbing the walls, doing all that kind of stuff, they'd have had the army, the navy, and everybody else in there removing those people, and every one of them would have got at least 10 years in prison. Every one of them that went into that capital. But because they were white people, that did not happen. This is what we're dealing with, and we have got to wake up. And not only do we need to wake up, we need to wake up our children, our young people, because the only voice we have is when we go vote. That is it. That's just the bottom line. We've got to get people who have our best interests at heart in these positions that can help us with these type of issues. If you look at what's happened with Democrats and Republicans, when have Republicans ever tried to help you with food stamps or send you money to help you with child care and all this money we've been getting over the last 3-4 years coming from the Democrat side, trying to help you deal with this economy, trying to give you money for gas and all this kind of stuff? You don't see no Republicans pushing for that. You don't even hear Republicans are running right now. You don't even hear them talking about what is your solution to the economy. You know, they want to talk about how bad the economy is. Well, we just come through the biggest pandemic in the history of the world. Every nation is going through what we're going through right now. They don't want to say that, but every nation is going, oh, it's Joe Biden. No, Joe Biden didn't cause this. We all know that. We've got common sense. We shut America down. Don't you know there's going to be some repercussions behind that? But we just thought everything was just going to go right back to normal after half of the businesses shut down. Many people that have been in business for 20 years are no longer even have their businesses anymore. We just thought nothing was going to happen behind that. But at least you've got some Democrats that are saying we're going to help the American people by giving y'all these type of breaks to help you out until we can get through this thing. What are Republicans offering? Nothing. Nothing but tax breaks to the millionaires. That's it. And so even these white people that we call that are not making but $30,000 to $40,000 a year, they're voting against their own interests because they think that they want to keep black people down. When they were at the same point the time, they're keeping themselves down. Because that's the bottom line. Most of them are not rich either, but they rather. Like you said, it's all about that making America white again. And that's what it's really and truly all about. It's not that they don't care about suffering and all that. They're saying, no, we'll make it plain and clear that we're not going to let these all these different races of people take over America. This is all about white power, white privilege, as he just said, white privilege. That's what this is all about, period, straight across the board. And so
Brother James, first of all, I want to thank you for that very important statement that you just made. I want to go over to Brother Clarence M. Allen. Brother Clarence M. Allen, a teacher, a white teacher by the name of Mr. Donovan at Kanky High School in Chicago, has the audacity to throw a book at a black student. Man, do you know what happened to a brother if he threw a book at a white student? Man, like Chief Apostle said, and like Brother James said, it was a brother that did that. They would carry him out in handcuffs in front of the whole school and have him face down with guns to his head. Okay?
Exactly.
Go ahead, Brother Clarence, take the floor. I'm on fire about this. I'm sure you are, too. What's the word for this, brother? What's the word? Step up. Take it over.
Pastor Eddie, first, good morning to Chief Apostle Kim Carey.
And bless you, sir.
Brother James Hudson. Once again, welcome to the show from all our listeners. Pastor Eddie, every Monday morning, is coming with these hot-button topics. This is another hot-button topic, which was previously said. You know, this is just another can of worms that has been opened. You know, as you said, Pastor Eddie, if the racial roles were reversed, that the black student may not even made it out alive. So like Chief Apostle said earlier, this is white privilege being displayed and exercised. It's power. It's supposed to be so-called right. The doctor on the show that talked about this on the video earlier I saw, I apologize, I'm not able to pull it up right now, but Dr. Ritchie, I believe his name is, he hit it right on point. This teacher should have been arrested for assault, should have been fired immediately. You know, sometimes we all get caught up in our personal lives that we're not aware and paying attention to our surroundings, to the event that's happening. So, and where I'm going is those parents in that high school district, not just that school, they need to be at the district meetings, the school meetings, and demanding that this guy gets fired, and protesting also in front of the DA's office, demanding that this guy has assaulted a child. Regardless of age, that teenager is a child he threw a book at. You know, that's child abuse right there. Assault, and if it was a equitable DA, he would even probably, or she would probably even be able to come up with more charges than this. You know, it makes me think, Pat Shady, in the beginning of the show when you were talking about how we're killing each other, that weaponized us and taking our minds to where we hate ourselves so much that we're killing each other instead of killing ourselves, you know, if you have that much hate for yourself in you. And so where I'm going with this is, if this would have been not in school but happened on the street in one of our communities and a Crip would have threw a book at a Blood, they would go out and kill that person just on the street. So I'm not promoting violence or nothing, but I'm just making the comparison on how we think our young people think, and even some old ones out there are still clouded with the bad judgments of, well, I hate you because you call yourself this, that color, your community, just because I don't know you or what have you. And so, Pastor Eddie, you know, this is the racial practices exercising with extreme prejudice. You know, this teacher hardly even looks like he's past 22. You know, so it shows his ignorance, his lack of knowledge, you know, foolishness, you know, in everything that he learned, even up through college. He hasn't learned that we are all a people. You know, when you go to the beginning of the Bible and God said, let there be light, and he saw that it was good. Light is a spectrum of colors. It's a spectrum of every color. So if God sees every color is good, if you want to look at people as colors, and in the 1600s, white folks didn't know they were white. They called each other Dutch, English, French, or you're Spanish, you're Italian. You know, they didn't look at each other as a color until the great Atlantic slave trade, and blacks came over here and competed with their indentured servant jobs, and blacks worked for free labor and whatever fell off the table to eat. And so when we look at all this, this is just another, you know, that it's just racism exercising its might in the presence of those students. You know, how will it affect those students? Because when you know, it's okay to see it on TV, the news, you hear about it, but when it happens in front of you, there's a whole different emotional reception on the aspect of that. So, Pastor Eddie, once again, you know, this is a great subject. This is it's just a shame it continues to happen, especially with the educators. But this is a great hot-button subject to bring about and put a spotlight on. So thank you, Pastor Eddie, for bringing it to our notice.
You're welcome, Brother Clarence. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. I have rights. If you want to, thank you so much, Wanda. If you want to, like right now, if you want to call into the show and comment on this particular topic about a white school teacher throwing a book at a black student and then calling effing nigger, okay, you know I'm not using the foul language. I'm using the word F, the letter F, because we know what that means, fudge, okay? That is unacceptable. Let me give out the number. Dial 646-787-8064. 646-747-8064. Dial that number, press 1, it'll put you in the queue, and then, because right now I heard somebody just call my name. Go right ahead. Who's that? Is that you, Brother Clarence?
Yes, Pastor Yannick, let me just elaborate just 1 minute on this N-word. This N-word was created during a time during slavery, which was created to hunt and kill us. It was created to disrespect us. It was created to belittle us. And so when we look at the times now when brothers and sisters out here are thinking it's okay to use that word as a social term of endearment, or just as a friendly nature, as like you are homeboys, it is not. Because that same brother that's calling his other brother the N-word as a term of endearment and social status or whatever, when the time and situation present itself, he will use that same word for exactly what it means. And he will go out and do harm and even kill his own brother, calling him, but I thought I was your N-word. And the last point on this is, we see brothers and sisters calling each other that all day, and then if somebody out of their race calling that, they want to get mad. That's crazy. Isn't that what you're calling yourself? Isn't that what you're calling? So why you want to get mad at somebody out of your race calling each other or calling you this disrespectful, disrepresented name, and you calling yourself that all day? Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
You're very welcome, Brother Clarence. Now, before we go to Vera Antolana, before we do that, I want to go back to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry because he wants to piggyback on some statements that were made. Now, let me give you the scenario for those who are just a white school teacher at Kanky High School in Chicago had the audacity to pick up a book and throw it at a high school black student and then call him a effing nigger. Okay? I don't use that word a lot, but I'm using it on the show because I am depicting a subject matter that's very sensitive and very if they don't call you that, then they want to call you boy. And they want to call you something except for who you are. They want to belittle you in front of your wife, belittle you in front of your kids, belittle you at your job. And this is the reason why so many lawsuits are being filed, because racism is raising its nasty head thanks to T-Rump. I don't call him Donald whatever. I call him T-Rump. That's his name, T-Rump. He acts like a butt, okay? What's up, Brother Maurice Valentine, all the way out there in your hometown with Bully the Bull? What's happening, my brother? Let's go to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. I think he's in, are you in North Carolina or North Carolina, right?
I am in North Carolina, sir.
Go right ahead, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. You want to piggyback? Go right ahead. Jump on it.
I got one of the points is that when we talk about the, as we say, the N-word, you know, it came from the word for Niger or Nigerian. And so as people were being transported from Africa, when they got it here, they made it slang. And instead of saying Niger, they said, oh, he just the N-word, right? So that's how that developed. And so people just adopted that as a philosophy of word. And so the definition meant a stupid person or ignorant person. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that part. But let me say this to everybody, and I hope everybody is listening very well. We are discovering a system that has been put in place. Some of us said that, you know, while we were playing checkers, they were playing chess. They were strategically putting stuff in place in order to cut off our avenues and maintain what they call is, and you see them talk about it, we want a civil war again because we want, the South wants to win. They still have that philosophy of wanting to win, and they want to be in control of everybody. It doesn't matter race, whether you're black, white, Jewish or whatever. They don't like you because as the people are coming into this country, it's causing a disruption of their way of life. And they see themselves becoming a minority instead of a majority, and that's the problem. And so that's why you see them trying to blame everything that's going on the immigrants. Well, they're coming in and they're bringing all the crime from Mexico and all. And we're looking around and you say, okay, but most of the people that are committing the crime are people that are Caucasian, and nothing is being said to and, you know, Bassietti, what bothers me is when we see films and documentaries on TV concerning people of color, you know, if they show anything of the culture of Africa, it's always us in backwoods and living in the trees and, you know, all of those things. And it just doesn't make any sense. And see, the lady, she got called up there. I can't think of the lady that she called the little boy a monkey. And I think you guys just saw that on the news. And I'm like, well, that just shows how people really think in their heart about us as a people. You know, they don't even see us. Mm-hmm.
Chief Apostle, let me jump in for a second. Last week, we talked about council members who called one councilman, Boney. He adopted an African-American kid. And we called him a monkey and told him that he looked like a Louis Vuitton bag because Louis Vuitton's a brown. Now, this is racism at its best, and this is coming from the city council of the city of Los Angeles, California. So far, the president of the council, she has stepped down and is no longer the president of the city council. Hopefully she's not a city council member. And they want DeLeo and the other ones to step down as well. And they're protesting it right now outside of home.
They should step down.
Yes, they should. And not only should they step down, but we need to step up going against one another, hating on each other, because this is what we talk about, the Willie Lynch Law, on our show every year. But since the inception of our show, we have a time when it gets close to Christmas, we start talking about the Willie Lynch Law. We need to talk about it. We read it thoroughly on the show, because a lot of people have never read the Willie Lynch Law. They don't understand what it means, how one white man went and taught all the slave masters on how to control your slaves. And if you believe that you're a slave, you will be a slave if you don't know how to think outside the box. The only reason why you could be called a slave is if you believe in your mind you are a slave to whatever it is. And if you want to serve anything, you better serve God.
And you know what, Pastor Eddie, people need to read that, look at that 13th Amendment and read it real good.
You are in trouble. You need to read the fine print, and we need to do that. We're going to review that on the show. We might do that next week, because what are their amendment rights? Because if you don't know your rights, how can you exercise your rights if you don't know them?
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
In the Bible it says, we can handle wisdom, and then we can apply it, and then make it applicable, not that will have us to have to exercise our amendment rights, including voting. I want to real quick.
You know what?
Thank you, Chief Apostle.
You know what? You know what?
Go
we sit there and listen to Trump say, while he stood up on the stage, he's like, "Oh yeah, vote for me because I saved your freaking suburbs." And you're like, okay, what was he talking about? You know, and that's something that we have to really look at. There is discrimination that is going on within the real estate business as well, because you said, okay, you got the Crips and the Bloods. They're all over. They put them in the same place so they can fight against each other and just kill each other. They don't worry about that because they got that covered. But in the other areas, they have to use whatever tactics they have to try to control, you know, and it's almost like the police in those areas are just like they were in the past. They were slave catchers. When you just walking down the street, walking your dog or whatever, and they pull up, right, and you got to show your papers. Oh, show me some ID. You know, yeah. Show. Yeah. Really? Come on.
And you know what, Chief Apostle?
That's the system, sir.
Excuse me for interrupting you, Chief Apostle. Excuse me for interrupting you. So, in other words, and here's let me break this down to what he's saying. What's up, Brother Glenn Yost? Welcome to the show. What Chief Apostle was saying is that every white person during slavery was deputized to be able to stop any black person and say, show me your paperwork, show me your papers and say free to.
Yes, sir. Even the common person on the street proved to me that you live in this apartment. We see it over and over and over. Every time some black person has to sit there and prove that they live, and if they don't, then they call the police on them when they actually live in the subdivision.
Let me give you a perfect example of that. There was an African American man walking in the park. There was an African-American man walking in the park, and he was walking it by himself, and a white woman called the police and said that he was harassing her. They found out she was lying. They took her dog. They fired her from her job, and she got sued, too, for lying. So they've been doing this for years. They've been lying, lying, and lying.
There's
and everything about
just everything like about her, this, sir. It's a
white,
whole lot more people just like her.
Yes, they lie. But let me tell you, we got about less than five minutes on this topic, and we're going to switch reels. So let me go to Talana Jones, and then I'm going to go to Vera last so she can close it out. Talana, a student in high school student, and you have kids, and I do too, and we all have kids or grandkids, someone that we know in high school, is going to school to get an education. A book is thrown at him. He's called the N-word. Take the floor, Talana. How do you feel about that?
I just have to just kind of touch on agreeing with the entire panel. It's a sign of time. It is really, like I heard Chief Curry say, that it's turning everything that isn't good into making something that's bad look good, and it's really not good. So all of the wickedness, the weirdom, the machismo of the world, everything is turning around because of the pestilence and the evil that it is of the world right now. And discipline has to come into effect some type of way. And it's sad. It's really sad. It just shows that teachers are, when they took discipline out of the school, I think that's just the highlight. When they took discipline away, it took away all the privileges on both sides. The student and the teacher. So the student also suffers, and the teacher suffers more because they want to be able to teach, but there's also a moment in time where there's now a lot of rudum, cruelty, disrespect. So the lack of discipline, moral value, takes away from learning, and it also causes corruption in the school. It's discrimination. Period. It's just pure discrimination.
It really is. Thank you so much, Talana, for saying that. Thank you. I want to know Vera Jones. Vera Jones, Vera, sister, the student is in Chicago at Kiki High School, and this teacher gets so mad, not only doesn't throw a book at him, but he calls him an effing nigger, okay? And I want to hear your opinion on that. Go right ahead, Vera, take the floor.
Okay, well, I am really saddened to hear this, Eddie, but I want to know, how would this particular teacher feel if he had a community throw all the penal code books at him as he stood at, you know, behind a gate or at the desk? How would he feel if we all took the penal code? Because this is battery on a child. This is 270, the penal code 273DPC. It is child abuse. And when something is done cruel or inhuman punishment like that, no. So usually it can be, well, depending on where we are in the world, it is a misdemeanor. And then in other parts, it is a felony. So, yes. this is a felony. He should spend quite some time behind bars and never, ever harm. And I hope he learns a life lesson from this, because no person, no animal should ever be treated like this, Eddie. So I yield back to you.
Thank you so much. That was such a profound, prolific statement that you just made. And no one should be treated like an animal. Back in slavery, even though we were human beings, they called you an animal. They labeled you as an animal to belittle you, embarrass you. But here's the thing. You were an animal, right? But the white man always want to, you know, get with our black women, the queens of the earth, the empresses of the earth. But you hate us, but you want your lips like ours. You hate us, but you want your butt like ours. You hate us, but you want to be, you know, looking like us, getting your hair with braids and all that stuff. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Good morning, Danielle. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show, Danielle, my niece, Danielle. Thank you for chiming in with us. God bless you. We're going to switch reels right now. I want to go back to Brother James Hudson. Brother James Hudson, give us some closing. James, Brother James, you there, Brother James?
Can you hear me?
Brother James, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay, so give us your closing remarks. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Give us your closing. Yeah, give us your closing remarks on the teacher throwing a book and calling students the N-word. Give us your closing remarks.
Well, all I can say is we hope that there are some systems in place when any type of injustice is done to anybody. And I don't want us to always seem like it was always about what's done to black people, because as most of you have said, even if it had been the other way around, what would have happened? All we're asking for is that the playing field be level. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with just saying, look, what you want for your child is what I want for my child. You know, what you want for that black student, we want for that white student. And that's the type of society that we were all hoping, I think, maybe 10 years ago that we were actually living in. And all this stuff has come out now where these people are almost like they're coming out of the woodwork. This stuff is coming from somewhere. You know, you got all this stuff happening in schools. I just heard them talk about the man that was in a neighborhood, and they thought, I was just talking to my neighbor this morning, just talking to him. He's a white man. He was telling me about some black man that was watering his neighbor's yard because the neighbor had went out of town, and the cops came in to arrest him and asking him for his ID. And he's like, I live next door. I'm a pastor. And they said, well, you show me some ID. So I don't have any IDs in my house, but I've been living in this house for 20 years. And it took the neighbors in the community that came out and said, this man has been living here for 20 years. He just told you. He said, how do you think he's breaking into somebody's house and out here watering their yard? Does that make any sense? You're going to break in somebody's house and then go water their yard? That doesn't even make any sense, but it doesn't have to make any sense to these people. These dog whistles that they've been told. They're going to harass you. They have a badge where they can arrest you and even arrest you for no justifiable reason whatsoever, even to the point where they can kill you. And these people know that, and that's what they're showing us all across America right now, that we're going to put all of you guys back into your places because y'all have gotten out of control. You know, you think you're living in nice houses, driving nice cars, got good jobs. Well, we're going to put all y'all back in your place, and that's what's happening. And if we don't rise up, you may look sound crazy now that these people want us back out in the cotton field. It may not be in a cotton field, but it's going to be somewhere that we don't want to be. So all I can tell you is we've got to vote across the board if we want justice and vote for those people that have our best interests at heart. And that's the closing for me.
Thank you so much, Brother James. Thank you so much. Appreciate your statements and everybody from all co-producers of the show. Thank you so much. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, protecting our rights because we all have rights. We're going to switch reels right now. We're going to go to another civil issue. The pharmaceutical companies are making billions and trillions of dollars on African blood pressure, diabetes, heart problem, and obesity. These are things that have been attacking the African-American and black community for many, many years. And doctors, as soon as you walk in the office, before you can say good afternoon or good morning or good evening, they already write you a prescription. Next thing you know, you got one bottle of pills on your bed. Next thing you know, you got two bottles of pills, then three, then four. Next thing you know, you got 10 bottles of pills, and they're all supposed to do something for something. And each pill has several side effects. I'm sure you see those commercials sometimes that say, if you take Blatinol, you take Blatinol, you could get bleeding from the ears, bleeding from your eyes, your foot could fall off, or this, whatever. You could die. You could have a heart attack. Your tongue could go down your throat. They tell you these things, that these are the possibilities of what can happen from taking this so-called medication that's supposed to be so good for you. That's really not all that good for you. So our topic, our first topic is, and I want to read it to you, which we did the second topic first, and now we're going to do the first topic. Our topic is diabetes, and what is type 1, and what is type 2, and how it affects your pancreas and your body, and how to heal from diabetes without taking all that medication. Okay, diabetes is a serious, serious disease in the African-American community. And we're going to talk about it just for a minute. Then we're going to go to my sister Vera about it. We're going to hear from the entire panel about diabetes, because we all know somebody, including myself, that is dealing with, good morning, Brenda Calhoun, how are you? God bless you. Diabetes, including myself. And that's why I thought it would be a good topic, because it's a civil rights issue, because they're making all this money off of people who have diabetes. That's what they're doing. That's what the pharmaceutical companies are doing. They tell the doctors just write prescriptions, and they bring in all these patients, and they get it. Once they get you hooked on it, they tell you that you can't get off of it. But yes, you can get off of it. Living witness, you can get off of it, or you can control it. Okay, and that's very important. So I'm talking to somebody right now who knows somebody, whether it's a sister or a brother or a cousin or an uncle or a mother or a father or a friend or even a child. Even kids have diabetes. And a lot of kids that have type 1 because they're allowed to eat all these potatoes and potato chips and sugar and candy. And then at 7 years old, they're diabetic, type 1, taking a shot every morning, twice a day, because they're not controlling the diabetes. Okay, so I want to thank, okay, hallelujah. Yes, yes, thank you. Hallelujah. We're going to have on some very important. Okay, Brother Clarence, I want to read this to you. Brother Clarence just sent us a message. Yes, you can. You will be able to do this. A holistic health doctor by the name of Dr. Kayla O'Africa about diabetes. It is written, and you are in here. We will go there in just a minute. We're going to go to several people, but it is 10:07 and in the essence of the time, because we're going to start our regular segment at 10:30 sharp. 11 ways to start reversing type 2 diabetes. You have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, or you've been told you're at risk, read on 11 ways to start reversing the effects immediately. I thought this information would be helpful to anybody out there who's fighting diabetes or is diabetic, because you can lose a limb off your body if you don't take care of yourself right. It can mess up your nerves in your body. It can really do a lot. Diabetes is a very serious disease that has really been perpetuated on the African-American community. And I think it has to do with our diet and what we eat and what we don't eat and what we should not eat. And let's just talk about it. Type 2 diabetes is reaching epidemic proportions. There are 3.9 million people living with diabetes, 90% of them being affected by type 2 diabetes. Here's another shocking statistic. One out of three adults has pre-diabetes, the condition that precedes diabetes. As you'll soon see, and I want to skip on this part and go to the other part. I'm going to skip this part. What is type 2 diabetes? Type 2 diabetes is a condition that is characterized by chronically elevated blood sugar levels, However, the main cause as well as the driver for this condition is something called insulin resistance. Insulin resistance. When you eat certain foods, particularly refined carbohydrates, that food is converted to sugar inside your body. Your body's way of dealing with this sugar is to produce a hormone called insulin. Insulin moves the sugar inside your cells so that it can be used for energy. Sounds great, right? Yeah, it is. But if you get too much of it, it's not good for you. When working efficiently, this is a fantastic system that helps your body to function well. But when you have type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, or significant abnormal obesity, that system does not work well for you. So first of all, we need to control our weight. First of all, we need to control our diet. We must control our diet. I know it all looks good, and I'm a witness. I love sweet potato pie. I love my wife's sweet potato pie. It is so delicious. But I know that I can't eat the whole pie. I can't do that. I love Rocky Road ice cream. It's just so good. But I can't eat all that Rocky Road ice cream because it's not good for me, and it's not good for you. So eating too many refined carbohydrates elevates your insulin levels for long periods of time, and your cells start to become resistant to the effects of insulin. Think of this as a bit like alcohol, and even alcohol is bad for people who are diabetic. And because if you drink too much alcohol, there should be a lot of alcohol that is bad for you. When you start to drink a single glass of wine, can make you... Once your body becomes accustomed to drinking, you need more and more alcohol to achieve that same effect. This is what happens in diabetes. You need more and more insulin to do the same thing. The problem is that too much insulin is toxic to the body. That's right. It starts to wear and tear and destroy the interior of the body. And we don't realize that because we're feeling like, okay, everything's all right. But while you're feeling like everything's all right, it's not all right, especially if the diabetes is attacking your pancreas, attacking your liver, your kidneys, and your heart. If you're diabetic or you know someone who's diabetic, you should tell them to watch this show. But now, after this show, it will be archived on my Facebook page, Eddie Justice Jones Jr., and I'll share it, and you can look at this again because this is a very important topic, and it's another way to attack African-Americans in the black community who don't know about heart problems, obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes. It causes water and salt retention. This is what happens when you have the insulin levels up really high in your body. It causes water and salt retention, which causes raised blood pressure. You become at risk for atherosclerosis of your arteries, which can lead to heart attacks. Raised insulin levels increases a type of blood fat, and one of the bad forms of cholesterol can drive. That's why your A1C needs to be down, not up real high. If you have a high A1C, you need to go to your doctor and get checked out. Everybody, because we as African Americans, we're so taboo about when it comes time to go to the doctor. We don't want to go, but we should go. Okay. In women, it can cause the ovaries to produce more testosterone, which is associated with ovarian syndrome, which is very bad, okay, significantly increases your risk of getting type 2 diabetes, and type 2 diabetes can eventually lead to type 1 diabetes, which type 1 is you're on the insulin shot, type 2 you're on the pill. Now, for those who don't know, because we're talking about a very extremely important subject matter, and at this time, I'm going to yield to my sister, Vera Jones. Vera, please take the floor. Let's talk a little bit about diabetes. Go right ahead, Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V.
Well, Eddie, I'll just share a little information that I know from basically some friends or family, what I have just learned. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I need to, and we all need to. But what I do know is that it weakens your entire immune system. Now, there are what they call pre-diabetic, meaning that it's kind of controlled and you're kind of watching what your blood sugar levels are. There is type 1, where the pancreas produces little or no insulin, so you have to take insulin to put it to keep moving. And type number two, it affects your body as well. However, it can be controlled if you are on a pill. And then, so there is a friend that, there are a couple of people that I know that have actually healed themselves of taking the pill because it didn't get as far where they had to put the insulin in their body. And they did that by changing their entire immune system. So what I would suggest, Eddie, would be, as I always say, eat the colors of the rainbow, but add some protein in your body like fish or turkey, and if you're vegan or vegetarian, then just get some beans and make sure you have legumes, nuts, and also watch for your dairy. You can use the non-dairy or fat, low-fat, and you can have the Greek yogurt. And also, it would be great to have the whole grain wheat instead of white bread, but you can add quinoa, barley, oats, or brown rice, better yet. But it's good to do your own research, and one great thing that helped my family member was to journal every single day. It was my mom. So when my mom had a couple of strokes due to becoming diabetic, guess what? We implemented a journal. So we did her blood pressure, her pulse and respiration, and her blood sugar every single day. And even if I look back on it a month later, I knew exactly what she ate and how much and what time. So it's important as well, Eddie, to get some physical exercise in, because guess what? When we just eat and we sit down and we lay down, we don't move, it turns to sugar. So I will yield the floor back over to you, and I just wanted to say that there is absolutely no cure, but however, we can help heal ourselves by reversing what is happening with our body. And last but not least, avoid that sugar. And it's best that if a person that is diabetic to avoid the red meat, well, especially the processed, and dried fruits, because the dried fruits are basically sugar and the white carbohydrate. So, yielding back to you, Eddie. So, go for a walk.
Wow,
and watch your toes and watch your shoes.
Dr. Grant.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you very
Eddie,
much. Thank you.
Also, Eddie, I wanted to mention another thing that we did for Mom was to take her to a podiatrist whenever she needed her nails clipped, but I would basically just do her pedicures at home. Okay.
Yes, that's
it's okay. Yours.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so very much. And I want to say to my wife, Wanda, thank you for all the hearts. I love those hearts. Keep sending them. Now we're gonna go to Brother Clarence, who's going to share some pertinent information about diabetes. And this is really important. So if you don't have a pen and paper, you should have one. And if you have diabetes or you know someone that has diabetes, you should be talking about it, because this disease attacks the black community, and 3.9 million people are diabetic. And then there's still some who are pre-diabetic. When they say you're pre-diabetic, that means that you're right next to being diabetic. So you want to have the right foods. And I just want to share some of the foods that you should be. Nuts and seeds, avocados, omega-3 fats and almonds, flaxseed and flaxseed oil, cold water fish like wild salmon, herring, mackerel, tuna, extra virgin olive oil, and whole eggs. Those are some of the things you need to put on your list that you should be eating. And we'll talk about more of that in just a minute. and some of the things you should be reducing in your diet is reducing your intake of carbohydrates such as pasta, rice, bread, such as broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower, are fine and can be eaten. So you should be eating broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower, and you should be low on your carbohydrates. You should know how many calories that you're eating every day, and these are things that you need to do to help yourself if you have diabetes. Don't just sit around and do nothing. Don't wait till you get 270 pounds. At one point in my life, I went up to 270. Now I'm down to 218 pounds. And I feel good. If I can do it, you can do it. It's WIP, work in progress. And we all should work on ourselves, because self-preservation is the first law of nature. And right before we go to Brother Clarence, Brother James Hudson in Texas says, it starts with diet and exercise. Stay away from all you can eat buffets. A stationary bike and ride while looking at TV. It makes no sense to go from 120 pounds to 280 pounds before you take action. We can't blame it on the doctor. Look in the mirror. It starts with you, with me, myself, and I. So thank you very much for that statement that was just made. A shout out to Edie. Good morning. Very good information. Without further ado, Clarence and Allen, please take the floor and elaborate on diabetes from Dr. Africa.
Yes, I'm going to read a short segment from the book African Holistic Health by Dr. Liala O. Africa. I recommend everybody get this book. It's very cheap, doesn't cost much. Whatever illness, injury, disease you have, it's in this book, what foods to eat. Even the Bible tells us that our healing is in our fruit, nuts, and our berries.
Brother Clarence, can you speak just a little bit louder because we can't hear you really good.
Diabetes. Can you hear me now better, Pastor Eddie?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Diabetes, a disease of the pancreas. Melanin centers of the pancreas, islet of Langerhans, are harmed and damaged. The condition exists when the body has sugar, which is a natural fuel for the body, available but fails to recognize this. This causes excess sugar to accumulate, which the body gets rid by excess urinating. Urine will become morbid and change in odor and color. Excessive urinating causes thirst, dehydration, weight loss, loss of appetite, and overworked kidney and pancreas. The pancreas secretes the hormone insulin, which Dr. Granny V just mentioned, which stimulates the use of sugar. Disease, emotion, or social stressors can overestimate the pituitary or adrenal glands, which overtaxes the pancreas, resulting in diabetes. Black folks can have misdiagnosed or subclinical diabetes because the Caucasian race diabetes test normal range is 80 to 100 glucose. Black folks can have diabetes with a 90 glucose along with diabetes-related disease of high blood pressure, hyperactivity, kidney failure, cataract, nerve damage, glaucoma, infertility, mood swing, hair loss, bone loss, etc. Diabetes usually caused by overeating and refined carbohydrates, bleach, white flour, white rice, white grits, cooked white potatoes, and refined white sugar. Eating excessive amounts of animal flesh and cooked animal fats and proteins change to sugar in the body can cause diabetes. Bleached flour and white rice and cooked potatoes turn into sugar rapidly, weakening the pancreas and kidneys, causes disease. I'm going to skip down a little bit, go over here to this page. And so Pastor Eddie was mentioning some of the foods, and it has foods in here. Let me see if I can find them. Alfalfa, blueberries, these are the herbs, bitter melon, cayenne, cedar berries, there's the name, dandelion root, golden seal, and we heard of some of these, and it has vitamins. So if you want to read more about that, I recommend this book, African Holistic Health. This book really blew my mind because in an introductory, it goes through the history of the medical history, and we all know that all medical knowledge comes from Africa, but we all have been taught by this American and this European system about all these diseases. We know they put them deliberately out here. They alter our foods now. There are certain things in our foods, and like Brother James Hudson said, if we don't exercise, like Dr. Vera said, and Pastor Eddie, if we don't eat properly and watch our weight, we'll build disease. which is dis-ease. And that's what it is. It's a dis-ease of the body. So thank you, Pastor Eddie. Another hot-button topic. Let's take care of ourselves. God bless everyone who listened to this show. Thank you.
Brother Clarence, thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we are talking about a very serious topic called diabetes, which attacks the black community on an all-time high. Sister Wanda Long said, may need to make some lifestyle changes in order to see results. You will not get results unless you make some lifestyle changes. You have to make some lifestyle changes in order to see and get the results that you need to be as healthy as you possibly can, which gives you longevity here on this planet called Earth. You want to live as long as you can to see your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and sisters and brothers. Health is wealth, and wealth is longevity. So take pride in yourself. Take time with yourself. And make sure that you focus. Now, I want to give you 11 things that can help you have a healthier life when it comes to diabetes. And then, but before I do that, Talana Jones, take the floor. What do you want to say about diabetes? Talana, are you there?
I am right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Well, since I heard everyone share my version of diabetes that I just understood is that it's an autoimmune disease. And the type 2 version is not an autoimmune disease, that they're both developed differently. The type 1 is a juvenile disease. It starts very early on in your pancreas. And if you're not able to develop proper amounts of insulin into your system over time, it is developed early, and it has found traces in early stages. So even as a child, you can develop stage 1 or type 1, diabetes. Versus type 2, it can be from a poor diet or not having the proper amounts of vitamins and supplements into your system. It says that it develops slowly, and it can be diagnosed at any age. And also, it can be utilized by other medications instead of, or the additional insulin that they may give you. You can take, like Dad said, the pill form, or you can take the insulin shot. Sometimes. The type 1, though, can be deadly. So there are two types that are versus, one that can be treated and one that has absolutely no cure. So, yes, it is very important to take care of your autoimmune system to keep your defense system up, to make sure, just like Vera said, about maintaining your good proteins. I would also add good fibers in there too. Also help with being able to regulate and keep the strongest ones right now that I have always promised by are raw ginger root and raw turmeric root. One holds very high antioxidant and high boost for your immune system. It's rich in benefits for vitamins and natural antioxidants that you also get to, the anti-inflammatory, which also takes away any swelling or inflammation inside of your body. So just a couple of things that I could add. Drink plenty of water, and I would say the best thing to do to add to your diet on top of all of the lovely things that we've already shared is carrots, which is also rich in fiber. And I yield back. Thanks, Dad.
Thank you so much, Talana. Let's give Talana a big hand. Let's give her a hand for sharing that information.
Okay.
Thank you, Talana. Appreciate
it.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Without further ado, let's thank you, Wanda, for all those likes. Let's give a big shout out to Cousin V. Welcome to the show, Cousin V. How are you there in Florida?
Good morning. Good morning to y'all. Good afternoon from Florida, because it's already afternoon.
Good morning and afternoon, Cousin V.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Morning, Florida. It's Linda.
Good morning.
Okay. And also, we want to welcome Linda Goldie. Welcome here this morning.
Good morning, Linda Goldie.
Good morning. It's raining.
Okay,
here.
All right. Now, hold that thought, both of you. Hold that thought. I want to really quick go over. There's 11 ways to start reversing the effects of diabetes. Number one, avoid all refined carbohydrates. That means no pasta, rice, or bread. Even whole grain bread will spike your insulin. Avoid all added sugar. If your body is already in state where you cannot process carbohydrates and sugar properly, you're going to have to take steps to fully eliminate all sugars, at least in the short term. Number three, avoid all sweet drinks. It is best to stick to water, tea, and coffee. Number four, do not be scared of good quality, healthy, natural fat. Avocados, olives, almonds. Don't worry about causing you to put on weight. A study published in 2003 showed the people who supplemented their diet with almonds lost more weight than those who supplemented their diet with carbohydrates. Number five, do not waste your energy counting calories. Concentrate on the quality of the food that you are eating, and the calorie control will take care of itself. Number six, fight your gut bugs, not just yourself. These are trillions of bugs that live in your gut, that health is critical in determining your health. Many studies show links between the states of your gut bugs. So what they're saying is put things in there that help, like lots of fiber and lots of vegetables. Number seven, do my five-minute kitchen workout once a day. This could be before breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Even if it's leg lifts, stretches, or push-ups, sit-ups, or whatever. Number eight, if you like to snack, keep some high-fatty, healthy snacks, such as olives, nuts, or hummus. If you snack on refined carbohydrates as biscuits, you go on a blood sugar roller coaster that results in you feeling hungry, short, doctor. Fats, on the other hand, will keep you fuller for longer periods of time. Number nine, include high-quality protein and fat with every single meal. This helps to stabilize your blood sugars and promote stability and fullness in making sure that you control your sugar. Number 10, eat your meal sitting down at a table. Eating it on the sofa while watching TV encourages a mindless form of eating. This can lead you to eat higher quantities than you otherwise would. If you sit at a table, concentrate on what you're eating. You are more likely to enjoy your food, feel satisfied at the end of your meal, and eat less. Number 11, consider a form of regular fasting, such as intermittent fasting, restricted feeding, and means eating your calories during a specific window of the day. So in other words, what it's saying is eat the same routine on a regular basis. Don't eat all these odd times and do all these odd things. And in the essence of times, I'm going to stop right there. We will revisit this at another time, but for now, it is time for our regular segment, and we're going to talk about Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. I want to thank everybody. We're not even done yet. Right on, Brother Maurice. Brother Maurice Valentine said great information. Right on, my brother. God bless you, man. And I pray all is well with you. Let's start off, first of all, let's see, 223-646. Okay, let's see. Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Okay, let's put them back on hold. Okay, we got callers calling in different places. Okay, we're going to start off with poetry in motion. Without further ado, Linda Goldie, take the floor. Give us poetry in motion.
Okay, this is about stuff. It's only stuff that comes and goes. You get enough, but then it grows until it fills each empty space and overflows until you face the need is past. And then at last you give to live because it's time to say it's yours now and not mine. It's only stuff you realize
However much it was a prize at some distant time long past, for nothing here was made to last.
Wow, let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie with her Thank you very much. Thank you. And in the essence of the time, Professor Reams is not here. We want to thank Melanie Aubrey. We want to thank Professor Reams and Providence Monica and everybody who has been a part of our show. But without further ado, we're going to go to health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. The time now is 10:34 a.m. Give us health and wellness.
Okay, Eddie. First, I want to mention again, as I usually do, a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, I am Dr. Granny V. So today I wanted to speak about the autoimmune disease. Now, this may be brought on by stress, but what really brings it on and what really is it? Now, I wanted to mention a couple of autoimmune diseases that just a couple because there are many. So the first I wanted to mention is lupus. Now, that's when your immune system actually attacks its own tissues. So therefore, you're not able to walk, stand, hold, lift anything. Then there's rheumatoid arthritis, which many of us feel, and it affects our joints and especially our hands and our feet as well. Then there is the celiac, where the body reacts to eating gluten. So if you eat wheat, barley, or rye, guess what? You become swollen and you're hurting. And the other two are multiple sclerosis and guess what? Type 2 diabetes as well. So these are some of the things that you may feel when you have an autoimmune disease. You may feel mentally drained, physically and emotionally depressed, muscle, joint pain, also rashes. So therefore, what would be wise to do is to get your thyroid checked because you may have the, how do you pronounce it, Hashimoto's disease? One of my friends has. It is an autoimmune disease as well. So the test is called the ANA test. So it's an anti-nuclear antibody test, and it will be best to speak to a rheumatologist as well. So how to heal your body? You can start healing it right very moment or this second if you're feeling any of these things. And the best thing ever is to begin with prayer and affirmations every single day, in the morning, mm-hmm. in the middle of the day, and at night. So take some breaks and rest. Actually, rest. Don't turn on the TV. Don't be on your phone. Just rest and go within self. Watch what you ingest and watch what you put on your skin and your hair. Also, it's great to watch what cleaning products that you use and try to go as natural as you can. Read the labels because guess what? There are so many things and products that we're eating and we're using in our body that can also cause the inflammation and the rash that you may experience. Now, eat a balanced diet, as I say, the colors of the rainbow. Try and cook more at home. Know what you're eating and get out that old recipe book and share some recipes with others. For nutrition, it would be good to eat the great antioxidant foods, which are, the citrus fruits and all the berries. We can add more beets. We need to eat more beets and walnuts along with the fish oil. Because these can help reduce the inflammation that your body may feel. And then when you're taking vitamins, vitamin A fights infection, vitamin C will boost our entire immune system, vitamin E is a great antioxidant, and make sure you add kelp along with garlic, ginger, and turmeric, and I yield back to you, Eddie.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Granny V. Thank you. Thank you very much for our health and wellness. Yes, health and wellness. Now, yes. That was wonderful. Without further ado, it is time for words of wisdom with Solana Jones. Solana, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom. And following that, we're going to get the sports report. Let's find out what happened to the Rams. Let's find out what happened to the Chargers. All right, Tawana, the floor. Give us some words of wisdom.
I believe the blessings of God is all over our future. For just being our Savior, Lord, I say thank you for sending this message. No power in hell, no scheme of men can ever pluck me from his hands. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, for this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Thank you.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Well, let's give it up for Word of Wisdom. That's very good. Thank you, Solana. Thank you very much. Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. Now, really quick, get your pen and paper out. I'm going to give you the word of the week, and I'm going to give you the scripture of the week, but that was very good, Solana. Thank you. Okay, so our word of the week is encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement is the word of the week. Our scripture of the week is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, and it reads, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." I'm going to read that one more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, and it reads, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." In other words, love thy neighbors as you love thyself. And not only treat yourself good, but treat other people good too. And God will bless you. It's in his commandment that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And without further ado, it is time for the sports report. Cousin V, all the way from Florida, take the floor, give us the sports report. Then we'll have Clarence M. Allen regulate the manual and the commentary. It is 10:41 a.m. on this phenomenal, beautiful Monday morning. Here we go with the sports report. Go ahead, Cousin V. Take the floor.
Okay. First of all, I want to say for y'all to say a prayer for the two nurses that was killed at Dallas Methodist Hospital this past weekend. They were shot inside the hospital. So, and it was on the nursery, the mother-baby unit, which is like, it's not even like the first or the second floor, and it's always a locked-down protective unit. So just say a prayer for those two nurses. Also, some things on the diabetes. Like he said, watch your carbs, but also watch your natural fruits, especially oranges and orange juice, because those are the things that we give in the hospital to raise your blood sugar if it's low, like if it goes below at least 70. Also, they have diabetic education class in your community. So if you look those up and type in diabetic education, you should be able to find that in your local hospital and also in the community. There is also an herb that you can take, but of course, check with your doctor, or if you take it, don't just stop taking your medications on your own. It's called Curalin. It's spelled Curalin.
Wow.
Then I also want to say hello to Maurice Ballantyne. Tell him we need Bully the Bull to come to Florida to teach about bullying, because we did have some kids giving a little girl a hard time, talking about she had lice in her hair and she didn't, because she was checked out by two nurses. So, yeah, we still have bullying, and this is just elementary school, and it's already starting. Okay, so in sports, in Major League Baseball, we have our World Series teams. It will be the Astros and the Phillies. The Astros defeated New York 0-4. They swept them 4-0. And then the Padres also, they lost 4-1 to Phillies. And so Kyle Schwarber, he hit the longest home run during this playoff, and it was 488 feet.
Wow.
And the World Series is going to start this Friday, October the 28th, which is my dad's birthday, my sister's birthday, my youngest sister's birthday, and Eddie, Talani, and Vera's uncles and cousins. So we're all family. The 28th will be their birthday. And then the second game is going to be played the next day on Saturday, October the 29th, and then it will resume next Monday night. When we will be back on the station. Then I also want to let you all know, your sports reporter got a chance to go to NASCAR at the Homestead Miami Speedway. On Saturday, they had the Xfinity Series with the Contender Boats competition. First place was Gregson. He drove Chevrolet number 9. Number 2 was Gibbs. He drove a Toyota. A.J. Allmendinger, he drove Chevrolet number 16. Number 4 drove Chevrolet number 11. And Meyer drove Chevrolet number 1. And then yesterday on Sunday, it was the Xfinity Series, and it was Dixie Vodka 400 Series at the Miami Speedway. And Kyle Larson got first place. He drove Chevrolet number 5. And Chastain drove Chevrolet number 1. He was in second. Allmendinger drove on both days, came in third both days. And then Dillon, he drove Chevrolet number 4. And Keselowski drove a Ford number 6. So hats off to NASCAR. I really enjoyed myself. You all can go and have that kind of fun for under $30, $35. I did a reserve seat for $35, and general admission is anywhere from like $20 and up. So you can really go and enjoy that, but you got to have your headphones on. And if you want to see some results, you can look on my Facebook page. And then in the NBA, the season opened last week on Tuesday, October 18th, with the Celtics and the Sixers, 76ers. The Celtics beat them 126-117. And the Lakers opened, and they lost the Golden State Warriors 123-109. If you want to see all the scores, go to NBA.com.
And then all right.
The NCAA, college football, lots of college football, lots of teams. So I just say go to NCAA.com. And their games usually start on a Wednesday, and they play all the way through Saturday. So you can go to the NCAA.com and look up all those scores for your favorite team. And then also hockey, they have just as many games, I think, as the NBA. So go to NHL.com and you can see your favorite teams there. And then we have the NFL because everybody likes NFL. So on last Thursday night, which opened week 7, we had New Orleans. They lost to Arizona Cardinals of all team, 42-34. And then we had yesterday we had the Baltimore Ravens. They beat Cleveland 23-20. Carolina Panthers, they drove Tampa Bay 21-3. And then we had the Bengals. They beat Atlanta 35-17. Dallas beat Detroit 24-6. The Jaguars lost to the New York Giants 28-17. The Colts lost to Tennessee 19-10. Washington Commanders beat Green Bay, and everybody's surprised about that. They beat them 23-21. The Broncos lost to New York Giants 16-9. And the Las Vegas Raiders and Clarence, they beat the Houston Texans 38-20. The L.A. Chargers, the Lightning Bolts, they lost to Seattle Seahawks 37-23. San Francisco lost to Kansas City 44-23. And my Miami Dolphins and the 1972 perfect team, 17-0 Dolphins, were on Sunday Night Football. And Miami and welcome back Tua, they beat Pittsburgh 16-10. And tonight on Monday night, it will be Chicago and New England. On by this week were the Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Eagles. And on Thursday night football, it will be the Ravens, who are 4-3, against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-4. This is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed week.
Let's give a big hand for our sports report.
Outstanding.
Thank you so much. Now, without further ado, first of all, let's say hello to Aretha Adams-Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. Welcome to the show. How are you, Aretha?
I'm fine. How are you? Hi. Happy Monday.
Hey. Dr. Aretha.
Dr. Aretha, please take the floor and give us mental health and you. With Dr. Rita Adams.
Amen. God bless you. This is Mental Health and You. Today I want to come to you briefly with the importance of reading. Reading is such an amazing tool. It enhances our reading skills. It helps us to recognize the value of reading. Reading also opens our understanding and our knowledge to so many fundamental things. And studies show that reading outside of our comfort zone or our safe place is very stimulating because it deepens our interest. It displays new writing technique styles and craft skills. It yields an additional knowledge, and it expands our vocabulary, our grammar skills, and all that good stuff. And reading fiction has been found to reinforce empathy. And reading various books increases our perception of others, and it allows us to experience stories from a variation of viewpoints. And reading is just good for the mental, and mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you all.
Let's give a big hand to Dr. Rita.
Thank you, Dr. Rita. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, the time is 10:51 a.m. We have a caller. Caller in the 725-256 area code. Are you there?
Yes.
Caller in the 725-256 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Hey.
Good morning. Good
yes,
morning.
Go right ahead. Who's calling?
My name is Steph Donald. And I'm
Steph
calling.
Donald, oh, my yes. God. How you been, man?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. Yep. How have you been, Chef Donald?
I've been great. I relocated to Las Vegas.
Yes.
I wanted to mention about your subject today, diabetes. I've been a diabetic for 5 years now. I take insulin twice a day, metformin twice a day. And
yes,
my A1C has been, my number's been great. Last week I had my A1C taken and it was 5.8. 2 months before that it was 5.6. And 6 months and 6 months before that it was 5.6. My question is, can you ever beat diabetes?
Yes, you can, and we're going to talk about that on the show next week because it's 10:53, and what I'm going to do is when the show is over, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to tell you, yes, you can, and I'm a witness. You can beat diabetes, yes. The doctors tell you that you can't, but the God that we serve up in heaven that made all these fresh vegetables and things that are good, one of the best ways to keep diabetes down to a minimum is no sugar in your diet. It's the hardest thing to do, but it helps out a lot. And, Chef Donald, don't go anywhere, man. I'm so glad to hear from you. But we're
all
in the essence of time. We have two things to do. We got to do regulate the manual and the commentary. But don't hang up. Don't go nowhere. I want you to say something in closing. So can you hold on for us, Brother Donald?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much, Chef Donald. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Give us regulate the manual and also give us the commentary in the shoes of Professor Reams. It is 10:54 a.m. and counting down. Clarence and Allen, please take the floor on the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. It's that time of the year for the Heinrich Soul Brother. On Monday morning, the temperature was cold outside, and the fog, along with an overcast, has rolled in the late evening and throughout the night. Halloween decorations began to spring up throughout the neighborhood. Frightening monsters appeared in the front yard. There were imitation bats, spiders, and other creepy creatures, which were the main decorations during this time of the year. Ghosts, goblins, and bugs crawling out from the ground could be seen here and there, moving about. At school, inside the classroom, teachers were worked feverishly with students to prepare their classes for the holiday festivities. The anticipation of Halloween parties being held on Friday filled the air with excitement. Some holiday candy were shared while scary pranks and tricks were played between the students just to get some laughs all day long. After the school dismissed, there would be tricks, pranks, games of fight that the students and adults would continue to play with each other until Halloween would come and become long gone. Who would be the one to come up from the most frightening prank? Who will perform the greatest trick or treat? There would be truth or dares and games to be played. You may shake a hand and get shot from the hidden prank toy, which was a fun trick to fool a friend. The hours of the day slowly passed on this cool Monday. The day cleared as the clouds dissipated in the late afternoon. School bell rang and the students ran out of class in anticipation for the daily after-school activities. Fun games, and these were the times when the horrifying events would begin to occur. Trick or treat, it's Halloween, and the spirits filled the air. There'll be plenty of boys who will no doubt be scaring the girls, only to get their laughs with some slimy worms that will be hidden next to some of the kids playing outside just to have some fun during the festivities. And due to the essence of time, if you want to read any more about what's going to happen on this Monday, the Monday before Halloween Monday, you got to get the Haunted Soul, brother. Great, it's a great read. You heard Dr. Aretha Madam Jones about reading. If you don't have a book, I deeply encourage you to get a book. And once again, if I had 1,000 shoes, I still couldn't fill the shoes of Professor Reed. Every Monday morning, he does the most majestic job in slamming his trunk with the commentary of the Eddie Justice Jones Morning Show. And we had our Word of the Week encouragement. Scripture of the Week was Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. And we heard Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry say, these days are the beginning of sorrow. And so, you know, we put God first in this show. God leads this show every Monday morning. You know, Pastor Eddie give us a Word of the Week, our Scripture of the Week. And then we talked about a sad incident, and that happened all over this nation about this teacher over at Kankakee High School over in Chicago, Illinois. A young white teacher throws a book at a black male student and calls him the N-word, and he gets not even a slap on his wrist by getting paid leave. You know, we have these racial incidents, even if it's law enforcement, Pastor Eddie mentioned, that they need not to get paid and be at home. It makes their job too easy. And they don't even have a job, and they're creating wealth, receiving an income. You know, these are hate crimes. We're looking at right now on TV where they're putting up the signs following Tanya anti-Semitic remarks, you know, how much traction and attention that gets. But when it comes to this student here, Pastor Eddie has to shine a light on this incident, which is not a lonely incident. It's not a soul incident. This is huge. All across America, where we are being profiled, targeted, being attacked,
being called out of our name just because of the color of your skin. And Talana Jones, she said it's the sign of the time. Dr. Vera Jones said this is a felony. I mentioned that this guy needs to be arrested for assault, child abuse. So, you know, we're going to go through these things. We're going to continue these things. And because of the essence of the time of the show, we talked about diabetes. We talked about what it is. We talked about how the effects of it. We talked about what foods we can eat, the exercises. Brother James Hudson, he emphasized about exercise and our diet. We all elaborated on that. And so, you know, we had Linda Goldie with all this stuff. But after all this stuff, nothing here is made to last. But while we have it, we must enjoy it. And Jetty, you gave a lot of knowledge and education on diabetes. So we appreciate you for that. You know, there are events that bring us all together, and every Monday morning we have Cousin B. She brings us with these sports reports. Something that's so special about sports that brings people from all races, all ethnicities, all walks of life together to cheer for their favorite team, their favorite person, their favorite sport, even the sport they like. And Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, she talked about the importance and the value of reading and reading outside of our comfort zone. So, you know, we always talk about leaving our comfort zone to do something different. But when it comes to reading, picking up something that we don't normally read a subject on or a story about, you know, getting outside of that zone and reading something that's different that we can gain some knowledge, acquire some value, even be entertained. I appreciate Brother James Hudson. He mentioned these two words. You know, we were talking about this teacher. He said the dog whistle. Listen for the dog whistle. They're throughout our societies with violence, racism, all the rhetoric. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, it went from L.A. with our city council members profiling a co-council member, black son, calling him a monkey in Spanish. And they didn't know that. See, we only heard the part that was recorded. It's over 8 minutes. But they were saying something before that that was so vile that somebody had to record that. And so we heard what we heard. People are outside of the council member house demanding him to. And, you know, these dudes won't even resign. They refuse. They want to get that paycheck. And they can represent their community, but they can't because L.A. is too diverse. There's nobody that doesn't live in L.A. from some country, some other community outside of the United States. We are all here. They call this the City of Angels. But yet we have devils, and so, like Apostle, she said, these are the times of sorrow, these days, you know. So, Pastor Eddie, once again, I cannot feel the shoes of Professor Reams. He wears special shoes, and when he slams the trunk of the limousine of the Eddie Justice Jones talk show, this is how we roll. And with that, that's my commentary.
All right, thank you for the commentary today, Brother Clarence. Come on, man. Thanks a lot, Brother Clarence. Appreciate that. Appreciate that so much. And with that being said, we got a caller in the 754-888 area code. Caller in the 754-888 area code, are you there?
This cousin, me, I have to call in on my other number to finish listening to the show because for some reason Facebook Live cut off on me here.
Okay, sorry about that. Now, Brother Donald, are you there?
But, oh, Eddie, do remind everybody to vote because they voted against the student loans for everybody. So make sure everybody get out and vote for those that didn't want them to get that student loan resolved.
That's right. That's right. I want to say this before I leave the show. Everybody get out and vote. You have a right to vote. Exercise your right. Stand up for something or fall for anything. I want to read what Vera said right here. She said, Vera said, Eddie, outstanding show. Thank you, Cousin V. Clarence and Allen, Talana Jones, Dr. Aretha, Apostle Kenneth Curry, Professor Reams, our guest James Hudson. And thank everybody. I want to thank everybody, myself. Now, look, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Brother Donald, I'm going to reach out to you after the show. What would you like to say in closing, Brother Donald, really quick before we end the show? Go right ahead.
Okay, Eddie. I got a lot of valuable information from your show today about diabetes, which I've been a diabetic for 5 years. My diabetes taking me to an area where I got so sick where I couldn't even walk. I had to stop taking care of myself, and from that day to this day, I've been taking it seriously. I've lost almost 50 pounds, and I'm just taking it one day at a time. Nothing special, just one day at a time. I get out and try to take a walk every day if I can. I'm just living life on its own terms, and I'm enjoying my life. And I want to thank you for the education that you've given me today.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Can everybody give my brother Donald a hand? Let's give Brother Donald a hand for taking
Donald.
Charge of his life.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Man, let me tell you, man, I am touched by hearing what I heard. I knew that this topic would hit somebody right where it needs to be hit. And thank God for you taking charge of your life. And grabbing your life back and doing what it takes to change your diet to make sure that diabetes does not win. And we're so proud of you. And I'm going to call you outside of the show. I'm going to say a prayer for everybody on the show right now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Brother Donald. We want to thank you for Apostle Chief Curry, for James Hudson, for all of our co-producers and producers of the show. We want to say thank you, God. We want to say thank you, God, to all of the people on Facebook Live. We want to say thank you, God, to all the people on Blog Talk Radio. God, please rehabilitate us, rejuvenate us, purge us. Lord, bless us. Lord, give us your blessings. Keep your light upon us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we'll be ever so careful, God, to give you all the glory and all the honor. I thank you, God, for what you have done. And I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Thank you for everyone, Linda Goldie and everybody on our show. In Jesus' name, and everybody just say amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, look.
One more thing.
The only
Beth,
woman
before
in life.
We go.
Say that again.
One more thing before we go. I just want to send a quick shout out to my brother, Chapel. Happy birthday, bro. Happy early birthday, should I say, because your birthday is coming up this weekend. So happy birthday to you. Love you much.
And happy birthday to Sasha, too. Happy birthday to Sasha and both of them. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Now, I want to give my closing remarks. My closing remarks. The only limit in life is to put on yourself, so let there be no limits. The only limit in life is the ones you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And remember, the best is yet to come. And whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And with that being said, you know what? Here's the real question. The real question is, what's going on?
Hey.
Love y'all. Peace.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Hey, what's up?
Mother, there's too
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Picket sign,